It's like discernment is like dancing with God, no? And when you're dancing with God, somebody takes the lead. So discernment is allowing God to take the lead. God's not gonna push you or pull you all over the dance floor, no? He's just gonna give you a cue. It's your job to decide whether you want to follow his cue or not.
I'm Jude, and welcome to Sundays for Seekers, where we tackle your burning questions one question at a time.
And I'm Father Jay. Hi, Jude. Are we ready with our burning question for this episode?
Yes, Father Jay. In fact, we have a perfect follow-up question to our last episode. So let's get started.
Every Sunday, Pins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily, something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday gospel fix. Follow the Pins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/pinsoflight. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/pinoylights.
This podcast is brought to you by SMART, Live Smarter for a Better World, and Unilab, Alagang Tunay, Alagang Pilipino, Unilab yan! In episode 5, we talked about, is the pandemic God's will? And further along that episode, we discovered and talked about God having a will for each person in the world. This actually reminds me, Father Jay, of a favorite song of mine, Pilgrim's Theme. I'm not sure if you know that song.
I've heard about it.
Yeah. And one line in particular actually speaks to me a lot. And the line goes, each one has his way, but how can I decide which path I should take? Who will be my guide? And it's a question that I think many people have been asking, not only in the midst of this pandemic, but in our lives, more so for young people like myself. And so for today's burning question, as a follow-up to our last episode, my question, Father, for you is, how can we discover God's will for us or for me?
Yeah, that sounds like a perfectly logical follow-up question to what we were discussing last week, right? As you said, if God has a specific will for each one, how can we tell what it is and how can we do it? No?
So, Father, if, as you mentioned, as we mentioned last episode, that God has a will for each one, and we always pray in our Father, your will be done. The big question really, like for me right now, I'm in my prime, as they say, my mid-20s to late-20s, the big question for me is, how do I know what God's will for me? What God's plan is for me?
Yeah, you know, asking the right questions, the first step. No, I remember when I was discerning about whether I should join the Jesuits or not, I was getting confused because one day I would want to, you know, I was very open to going to the seminary. Another day, I didn't want to. I wanted to do something else. So I went to see my old spiritual director back in high school. No? And I went to see him after so many years. And I talked to him about my confusion, how I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then he told me something very wise, which I never forgot. He said, you know what's wrong with what you're doing, he told me, is that you're asking the wrong question. You're asking yourself, what do I want to do with my life? When in fact, the question you should ask is, what does God want you to do with your life? So I think that's the first step. And you're asking the right question already. You're saying, what could be God's plan for me? What could be God's will for me? You know, it's surprising that very few people actually ask that question. Most people don't, it doesn't even occur to them. But the fact that it has occurred to you, means you're asking the right question and you're taking the right direction. So the very first step in trying to find out what God's will is to be interested and curious about it and to ask the right question.
That's true, Father. Those are two very similar but very different questions at the same time, asking what I want and what God wants of me. But, you know, to be completely honest, and I'm sure you also know this for a fact, it's not easy to ask that question, nor is it easy to try to figure it out, because of course you always have this personal urge of what you want to do, not to mention what other people want you to do, especially your parents and all of these things. And in the midst of all these feelings, all of these choices that you have, really begs the question, so what is it really that the Lord asks of me? Is it what my dad is telling me, or what my dad wants of me? Is it what I really want? So Father, for you personally, when you talk to your spiritual director, what really led you into that decision to enter the seminary and become a Jesuit?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's really a very difficult thing to do, no, to find out God's will. And you put it very well, no? There are so many voices telling us what to do, like our own voices. And first of all, even we are not sure about what we want to do. We want so many things, and sometimes they're in conflict with one another. And sometimes many of the things we want don't really last. They fade away after a few days, right? And then we have our parents, we have our peers, we have the world, social media telling us what we should do. So discernment is really trying to sort out which among these voices is coming from God. Because unfortunately, it's very rare that God shows up in front of us and talks to us plainly, no, in very clear language. Usually he is more subtle. He talks to us through other people. He talks to us through scripture. And he talks to us especially through our experiences. So trying to find out God's will, or the word we have for it is discernment. When we're trying to discern God's will, we really have to listen to our life. We have to read the signs of the times. What's going on in my life? No, how do I feel about the events in my life? And try to sort out from among these which ones are coming from God. Because not all of them come from God, right? Some of them come from our past, others from our parents, others from the world, you know, others from the evil spirit. So it's good to sort out which ones are coming from God. So that whole art of sorting out which of the voices is more authentic, that's what we call discernment. And that's how we find out God's will.
I like that thought, Father, that discernment is sorting things out and trying to figure out which one is God's voice. Because in our world today, and in my world as a young person, it's really not a world of sorting out. It's a world of validating, right? It's a matter of the more voices who say this, the more right it feels.
Yeah, and then we need criteria to decide which one's coming from God, right? And when we're discerning God's will, if you remember, we said God is all good. He knows what's best for us, and he wants what's best for us. No? So his will must be the best thing that can ever happen to us, except he respects our freedom, so he doesn't impose it. No? Just because God wills something doesn't mean it's going to happen. No? I'm not a Jesuit priest because God willed it, period. No, I had to say yes to him. And I had to go through that process of rummaging through all my experiences, sorting out which one I should listen to. And you're never 100% sure, right? So that's important. And really, when we're discerning, we also said that since God is all good, he will never will something bad. So it's always something good, right? So when you're discerning, you're choosing between two good things. That's why it's so hard to discern. No? Your two choices, or your three or four choices, should be all good. Otherwise, you're not discerning God's will. It's possible for choice A to be God's will, B, C, and D, if all of them are good. No? So for example, am I going to be a human rights lawyer, or am I going to be a corporate lawyer? Both options are good. And the answer is not obvious. As you say, it's not because if all my friends say be a corporate lawyer because it's more, it's better for you, you're going to make more money, it doesn't mean that that's the right thing to do. No, that's not necessarily what God wants you to do. You can't also say, oh, maybe the human rights lawyer because it takes more sacrifice. You're also not sure, because if God has a specific will for you, then for some lawyers, he wants to be human rights lawyers. Other people, he wants to be corporate lawyers. So your job is to find out, given your context, your situation, your talents, your background, where is God leading you? Where does God, which of the two is God's preference? So it's really not an easy thing to decide on.
And I think, Father, well, it's a very personal topic for me, because discernment is, it's high time for me to discern about what I'm going to be doing. especially for people my age, will you be staying at the job you're at right now? When will you get married, or will you enter religious life? And all of these questions come to mind, not just for me, but for my peers. And one of the things that I found important listening to what you're mentioning about deciding and discerning is that you really need to ground yourself, as you mentioned, in that question of what God wills for you. I also get what you're mentioning about having a spiritual director. It helps a lot having a mentor or a spiritual director to help you rummage through these things. Because if it's just yourself, sometimes, well, first for me, I find it very hard to be honest to myself. It's very hard to be honest and to be true to yourself as to what choices are there, what the pros and cons are. So it helps a lot having a third person in the middle of you and God, so to speak, to help you sort things out.
Yeah, the spiritual director is important because God speaks to us through our desires, what we want to do, right? That's basically how God speaks to us. And it's so easy to not be honest with ourselves, as you say. It's also not easy to understand ourselves. So it's always good to have somebody who's more objective, who can see the bigger picture and who can ask questions to help us clarify what is it we really want. There's a saying that God's will is nothing but our deepest desire. Except the problem is we don't know what it is. We don't know what our deepest desire is, because every person is a mystery even unto himself or herself. Sometimes you think you know yourself, but actually you don't, right? So it always helps to check with someone else, no? And whenever we were about to make an important decision, it's always good to discern, to ask for God's help, and to check with God what He prefers. You know, I was running a school for 12 years, and sometimes there were very difficult decisions, no? Because the decisions would really affect the life of the students. For example, let's say you have a misbehaving student, no? And usually the question is, the decision you have to make is, are you going to teach that misbehaving student a lesson, which sometimes means expelling the student, no? Or are you going to forgive the student and give the student another chance, no? Questions like that, I always found it helpful to discern, to consult God, as it were, and say, what do you want me to do? How would you like me to decide? Because this is such an important decision. And if you look at the decision, both options are good, no? At teaching a student a lesson so that the student will become more mature and responsible in the future, that's a good thing. No? But giving the student a second chance, forgiving the student, is also a good thing. So which one is it? There's no formula answer. You have to look at the context. You have to look at the student, the specific details of the situation. And then you have to sort things out and say which one could be God's will, no? Which one is the greater good between the two in this particular case? And it's a specific thing. It's not something general. It's not something you can apply to everything, no? So that shows you the complexity and uncertainty involved in discerning God's will.
And from what you're saying, Father, I feel like discernment is actually something, it's a skill that you have to slowly get a hold of, and it's not something you learn overnight, nor is it something you get right away.
You're absolutely right, because it's more of a sense. It's like a sense. You get, you know, first of all, you have to know yourself well so that you know where you're coming from, because God talks that way, right? So you have to be familiar with yourself, but you also have to be familiar with God. You also have to pray often, because how else can you tell what God wants if you don't know Him, no? And if God uses your desires to express what He wants, if you don't know yourself also, it's going to be very hard to discern. You know, every time we talk about God and religion and spirituality, we always use a metaphor. And the reason is, it's such a mystery. So metaphors are one way of trying to understand. No? One metaphor I find helpful is, it's like discernment is like dancing with God. No? And when you're dancing with God, somebody takes the lead. So discernment is allowing God to take the lead. Now, I don't know, Jude, if you've ever engaged in ballroom dancing, no? Where you have to lead your partner, no? And if you're new in dancing and both of you are not used to each other, the best way to lead your partner is to be very obvious and say, okay, turn left now, 1, 2, 3, kick or whatever. You give instructions to your partner, right? But the more familiar you get with one another, the cues become more subtle. Sometimes you just look at your partner. Sometimes you just kind of move the hand a certain way. The partner will already get it. I think that's a great metaphor for discernment because number one, it shows you that the more familiar you are with each other, again, it goes back to relationship. The closer you are to God, the more familiar you are with God, the easier it is for you to get what he's trying to tell you. No. But secondly, it's a great metaphor because God's not going to push you or pull you all over the dance floor. No, he's just going to give you a cue. It's your job to decide whether you want to follow his cue or not. No? So God's will is really not like a plan that he imposes on us. Eh? It's really a wish that he has. It's like he's saying, I love you and I know what's best for you. I wish you would do this. I'm not going to force you. And I'm going to try to tell you about it as you're growing up, but it's up to you to get it, no, to get the hint, to get the cue, and then to decide to follow or not. So it's a very tricky thing, this whole art of discernment.
That's a nice metaphor, Father, ballroom dancing. You know, what got to me there was I remembered dancing with my mom, ballroom dancing with my mom, and it really is a matter of, since she's the ballroom dancer and I was just a partner for that specific dance, I didn't get much of the cues. Like, she would have her specific cues with her DI, which I didn't know of. But because of that dance, I had to learn and slowly get the hang of it with many practices and all of these things. But Father, just a curious question. You've been mentioning about God's will and the need for people to say yes. Right. Even before you dance, of course, when you ask, can I have this? When God asks you, can I have this dance? You have to say yes. But what if the person says no? What happens?
Okay, that's a good question. But before I answer that question, I just want to thank you for, in one breath, dating me and your mom because of ballroom dancing and saying that, you know, that's an old thing. Okay, but, you know, the thing about discernment is that if it's a choice between two good things, if we choose the lesser good, it's still okay with God. You know, it's different from, you know, a general will where he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be moral, right? So if we choose something immoral, it's not so okay, right? But for example, if God wants, let's say God wants you to be religious, no? But you've decided to get married instead. Getting married is also a good thing, no? You did not follow his will, but it's okay as long as you try to live a good life, no, as a good husband and a good father, no. So discernment really is very different from moral decision, because moral decision, it's black and white. It's you do something good or you choose something bad. But if you're discerning God's will, the choices are always good. One of them is better than the others. In God's opinion, of course, God's opinion matters, right? But we're free to say no. And God's not going to punish us for, you know, for saying no. He still loves us, no? So I think that's a very important thing that you know, because God doesn't impose. God really just tells us what his desire is, what his wish is, because he knows we'll be happier there. But we're free to say no.
That's very consoling to hear from a priest, actually. That even if you choose the other one, or even if you don't choose what God really willed for you, it will be okay because both choices are good.
Yeah, and God's love is unconditional, right? So he won't love us if and only if we follow his will, right? Obviously, he will be pleased if we do that, no? You know, it's like going back to the metaphor of the dance. Like you said, it's uncertain. You're not sure, right? Sometimes when you're dancing with a partner, you may get the cues wrong, but you can correct it as you continue the dance, right? So as long as we continue to dance with God, we continue to try to find out what his will is, I think we'll figure it out eventually. I have many companions who are very good people, brilliant people, but in their discernment, they discovered they were not being called to remain as a Jesuit. But you know, but it was their choice. God never imposes on us. Eh?
We've been talking about the religious life. We've been talking about discerning whether the religious life is for you or not. But I think one more relatable aspect of discernment, and in terms of these decisions and God involving himself, would be choosing the job that is for you. Especially when you have to choose between a family business and going corporate or going for another business, right? And it's it's a crazy, crazy decision point that you have to go through.
Yeah, of course, the ideal is to be able to guess what God prefers, right? And to be able to say yes to that. So we have to do our part in trying to do that, no? So how do we do that? For example, you have there's a family business that, of course, your parents expect you to take over. But on the other hand, there are also like another career, like maybe in education, no? or in the corporate world, right? So how do you choose which one? So it's very important that you know yourself, but you also should be able to sort out the voices that we were talking about. There are many influences on us, no? From other people, from the world, no? From peer pressure, from yourself also. And also the spirits also influence us, right? So, you know, St. Ignatius of Loyola, who's a master of discernment, talked about consolation and desolation. And he said that one way of discerning is by following this motto: follow the consolation, reject the desolation. Now, some of you might be thinking, what's a consolation? What's a desolation? No? And usually when we say consolation, it feels good, right? And desolation is something that feels bad. But for St. Ignatius, it's not that. It's not about feeling good or feeling bad. It's about the direction. Where is that decision going to take you? So if you stayed in the family business, what kind of person are you going to be if you stay in the family business? Are you going to be closer to God or farther away from Him? Are you going to be more selfish or more selfless? Are you going to be prouder or are you going to be more humble? So it's the result, it's the direction that you can foresee. No? If you become an educator or you join the corporate world, what's the direction? What's the possible direction that this career is going to take you? So one way of sorting out which voice to follow is by imagining where it's going to take you. Are you going to be a better person or are you going to be worse? No. And of course, it's not easy to foresee that. No, but given your best lights, what do you think?
I remember, Father, with the many questions you threw about discernment, what a Jesuit asked me in my early years of being back at Savior to teach. And he summed all of those questions up in one question. He said, is this still life-giving enough for you so that you can continue to give life to others? And that was a very simple yet thought-provoking question about discernment.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it. No? That's another way of detecting whether it's consolation or desolation. If it's life-giving to you and to other people, then it must be from God. So you must follow that. No? Now, note that something like that is different for other people. No? For example, teaching may not be life-giving for other people. No? Running a family business may not be life-giving for other people. And you know, another great example, I think, is relationships. Sometimes people end up in unhealthy relationships, right? Let's say that the partner is somebody who is very needy, very demanding, for example. No? And then, but what's happening is that the person is suffering. No? As a result of, you know, like fulfilling every need of this person. Obviously, if the person's going through something, the person's more selfish, right? Tends to be more self-centered. So the partner is suffering in the process. So let's say the partner is deciding, should I continue this relationship or should I step out of it? Because I'm already suffering, right? So if it's a discernment question, you'll ask, what would God want me to do? No? Now, if the two choices are good, then it's a discernment question, right? So if you look at the two options, there is something good in each one. No? If you stay in the relationship, maybe you can take care of your partner, right? Maybe you're the only one your partner is relying on. But the other option is you free yourself from a toxic relationship. Now, again, which one's the right thing to do? No? Both of them are right. No? Which one is more right? Which is the greater good? Which is God's will? You have to discern because there's no formula answer. In some cases, you may actually feel that maybe I should stay in this relationship because kaya ko pa naman and this person really needs me. But in another situation that's very similar, you may actually feel, I think God wants me to end this relationship already because it's really ruining me. It's already destroying me already. So there's no formula answer. But as you can see, it's always a choice between two values or two goods. And the only way to find out is to get into that dance floor with God and find out what his cues are and try to figure it out and try it out and see, once you've tried it out, whether you're going the right direction or not.
That really makes so much sense, Father. To end our episode, I have one last question related to our burning question for today. And this really goes back to your search for God's will in your life, Father. Do you think that, well, rather, you already mentioned that you think at this point being a Jesuit priest is what God wills of you. So my question is, how did you know, or how do you know that that is God's will for you? Did you feel something? I'm not sure if, did God tell you you're doing well, or this is really what I wanted of you? So how did you know, and how do you think can we know that we're on the right track, so to speak, or we've actually found it?
Well, I'm not 100% sure that this is God's will for me, you know? I think I'm being honest there, because God's will is really a mystery, you know? I've been a Jesuit for over 30 years. And so far, given this 30-year dance, so far it seems that I'm not exactly on the wrong track, you know? It seems that I'm on the right track. Now, is it possible that when I die and I meet our Lord, is it possible he'll tell me, actually, I didn't really want you to be a Jesuit? I think it's possible, because there's such a thing as human error, right? I mean, given my best likes, I'm hoping that this is God's will, because it's been 30 years, right? It has defined my life. It has defined who I am, no? But I have no regrets, because I have received so much more, actually. You know, it's embarrassing to think that when I was thinking of joining the Jesuits, I was thinking of all the sacrifices, all the things I was giving up. But after 30 years, when I look back, I am ashamed of that, because I have received so much more from God. You know, really, it's awesome. It's incredible. I mean, when the Lord talks about the hundredfold, that you will receive a hundredfold, sobra sobra pa doon. So, as far as I'm concerned, even if this is not God's will for me, I've received so much already. It hasn't been a completely, perfectly happy life. I mean, no life on earth is like that. There have been problems, and there have been really difficult, dark times also. But what's important is that even in those difficult times, I felt that I was in the right place. That even if it was hard, it was, you know, like I couldn't sleep, or I didn't understand what was going on, I felt that, you know, God was with me, that I was, you know, journeying along this path and still trying to figure out what he wants me to do. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, even if this is not God's will, I'm okay with it, because I'm kind of happy. I mean, not 100% happy, but I'm, you know, generally happy. I'm very grateful for what I've received. Now, what about God, you think? I don't think God is disappointed in me. I mean, even if it's not his will that I become a Jesuit priest or stay a Jesuit priest, he probably appreciates my effort, because he knows that a large part of the reason why I am who I am and what I'm doing is because I thought it's what he wanted, right? So I think God appreciates it as well. So to be very honest, I don't think anyone can really say 100% that this is God's will. We'll only find out when we die, and God will, you know, when we talk to God, right? But I think what's important, it's, you know, the cliche about what's important is not so much the destination, but the journey, you know? So it almost doesn't matter if this was God's will for me. But in the journey, I tried to follow his cue, and he has rewarded me for it. And I think that's true for everyone. No? Don't wait till you're 100% sure before you take the first step, because you never will. You shall never be 100% sure. But one thing we can be 100% sure of is, as long as we want to find out God's will, we'll be in a good place. And I think that's what I can share from my experience.
Thank you, Father. That's a great wrap up. You know, I think I'd want a snippet of that and just repeat that every time I doubt myself, every time I'm uncertain, every time I'm afraid to take that first step when it comes to discerning what God's will is in my life. So thank you very much, Father, for answering that burning question that I've had, and I'm sure many other people have had as well. If you want to subscribe to Sundays for Seekers,
You can find us in all the usual places where you find podcasts. Be a Sunday Seeker by joining our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers, at facebook.com/groups/Sundays4S. Tell your friends about us by using the hashtag Sundays4S.
So, Father Jay, what's your crucifix for us today?
Well, since we're talking about God's will and discernment, and I talked about my religious life also, I actually got my vow cross. No? This vow cross is very special to me because every Jesuit is given one when we profess our first vows 2 years after we enter the novitiate. So this crucifix has been with me all this time. And every time I have difficulties and I have my doubts, I always turn to my vow cross. No? And it reminds me of why I'm here. And why I'm trying to do this, no? And why I'm staying in this path. So this is a very special cross for me. I just wanted to show it to everyone.
Thank you, Father.
Every Sunday, Pins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily, something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday gospel fix. Follow the Pins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/pinsoflight. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/PinoyLights.
Every episode, we have a takeaway question for our viewers and listeners, Father Jay. So what will it be for this episode?
Yeah, you know, when we talk about discerning God's will and following it, you really can't do it out of duty. You have to do it out of love because it's an extra thing, right? I mean, as we said earlier, it's between two goods and it's okay to choose the lesser good. No? It's okay with God. But for you to choose the greater good, for you to follow God's will, it has to be out of love. So I want to ask our listeners and viewers, if they're trying to discern God's will right now, are they doing it out of duty or out of love? What do they think? Because initially I was doing it out of duty when I was discerning God's will. And it really is not enough. No? It's important to do something out of love.
If you want to subscribe to Sundays for Seekers, you can find us in all the usual places where you find podcasts. Be a Sunday Seeker by joining our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers, at facebook.com/groups/Sundays4S. Tell your friends about us by using the hashtag Sundays4S.
At the end of every episode, we have a question from the audience to answer related to our burning question. And today, our question is actually from me. So it's a question about the song I referred to at the start, Pilgrim's Theme. And for those who don't know, Pilgrim's Theme was a song or is a song about searching for meaning, about discerning what God's will is for your life. Well, at least that's how I take it. But what best way to try and understand the song than to ask the writer himself, Father Jay. So Father Jay, what was your inspiration writing Pilgrim's Theme?
I wrote that song decades ago. I think about at least 2 decades ago. I wrote that with Father Manoling Francisco, who wrote the music. No? And I think it's very clear from the lyrics that it's a discernment song. It's about finding out which way to go, which dream to follow, you know. And to be honest with you, I was asked to write that song for a documentary. You know? And when I was writing that song, I really drew from my journal. So a lot of the words came straight from my journal when I was discerning God's will. You know? A lot of the metaphors and images came straight from that. So it's a very personal song for me. And what I found very gratifying is that so many people have identified so much with the song. And in fact, for a while, it became the graduation song for many schools, no? Because it's about what's going to happen to me in the future. But it's a very personal song. It came from my own search for God's will in my life, no? And it continues to speak to me. You know, I don't listen to it every day, right? But sometimes when I'm playing my iPhone on shuffle, it suddenly plays, and sometimes a line would speak to me, and it's still quite relevant to me. So maybe it's good for people to take a listen to the song, you know, because it kind of also captures a lot of the things we've talked about here.
That's true, Father. And I would be one of those people who would get hooked by the song, not really by the whole song, but even just for a line. And sometimes that line really speaks to you. And I like what you said to end our episode. I like what you said about how it still speaks to you until now, only to show that discernment will continue on in your life. No matter how long you've been in that dance with the Lord, you have to continue dancing. And hopefully, when you die, as you said, when we die, we really get to find out that we did what God wanted for of us, or at least in our every decision that we make, we do what God wills for us, or what we think God wills for us in our lives.
Okay, Jude, that we talked about a lot of things. I think we covered a lot of matters. So thanks again for our conversation.
Thank you, Father. You know, it feels like I had a spiritual director today in our conversation. So to everyone, please sending us your burning questions through Facebook.
Yes, and as we always say at the end of our episode, just keep the faith
and keep on seeking.
The Sundays for Seekers logo was designed by Jem Jemson Tan. Our theme was composed by Marvin Ong. And this episode was produced with Glenn Lopez of Upstream Media PH. Sundays for Seekers has been brought to you by Smart, live smarter for a better world, and Unilab, alagang tunay, alagang Pilipino, Unilab yan!